This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. This week, the government drew the amendment to the Legal Reform Bill, which included a clause that was intended to prevent unilateral conversion of minors by one parent. The amendments came on the back of a lengthy legal battle by housewife Indira Gandhi to gain custody of her children who had been converted by her former spouse. The government says that the clause 88A had to be dropped because its inclusion would contravene the federal constitution. Now, on the line is Latifa Koya. She's the lawyer and advisor at Lawyers of Liberty. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Latifa, I want to begin with a recent statement by former de facto law minister and a member, of course, of that cabinet panel to resolve the matter of unilateral conversion, Nasri Aziz. He weighed into this controversy by saying that the stumbling block to passing Clause 88A is the definition of the word parent in the Constitution. Do you agree with him?
Well, to a certain extent, yes, that there is a so-called conflict, because now what Article 80, the Clause 88A seeks to do, because of the word parent, the problem with that is that, it, of course, Clause 88A is to protect from a unilateral conversion. But under Article 12 of the Constitution, there is the Article 12 is with regards to freedom of religion. And what happened there is that there is a phrase that says that the religion of a person under the age of 18 years shall be decided by his parent or guardian. So it's not parents. So because of that, it can be seen as unconstitutional. And I think that's what they're talking about when they say that there's a conflict. But this can be actually resolved with a minor amendment to the Constitution. And I don't understand why they did not choose to, you know, put in that that amendment rather than just withdrawing the whole Clause 88A.
Now, I understand in 2009, the cabinet decided to bar unilateral conversions of children. That's kind of policy outlook coming from cabinet. But the proposed changes were shelved following an intervention from the Conference of Rulers just hours before they could table that in Parliament. This is in 2009. Could you help us understand why the Conference of Rulers is involved in this matter?
Well, I think because it comes back to the issue of the conflict between the jurisdiction of the Sharia, which falls under the state, that means it falls under the jurisdiction or the power of the rulers as well, and the civil courts. So what the whole bill is trying to seek is to resolve the various loopholes which, you know, got us to cases like Indira Gandhi and various other cases, Shamala and things like that, which caused the problem. I can understand the Conference of Rulers would have been advised that if the clauses like 88 is to proceed, then they will have to come back to deal with issues which may again arise because of terminologies and things like that. So it's not so much about, you know, a person being denied his rights per se, whether the person is a converted spouse or not, but more to, you know, to synchronize and to avoid conflict. So the word parent may become sticky, and it can open up to a new whole range of litigation. So I think that is the problem. But back to why that cannot be resolved is another issue. I think what the government has said is that it would need, an amendment to the Constitution. And they are going on the basis that an amendment would need two-thirds majority, and therefore that would be problematic. But this is something that could be easily, the support of all parties, even the opposition MPs, could have supported this. I don't see that being a problem. Most opposition MPs would agree to that particular amendment so that we can synchronize this issue and resolve this problem once and for all.
Can I ask you, I mean, you obviously, apart from being a lawyer, you're also a political activist, and you're with the PKR, Parti Keadilan Rakyat. You said most MPs are from the federal opposition. Who in the federal opposition would be opposed to these amendments?
Well, I actually, I cannot presume that who is going to not vote against it. But you see, the bill actually protects both spouses, the converted spouse, as well as the spouse who is not converted. So I don't see how anybody would you know, oppose it. But then again, things like this have become so sensitive and political, and, you know, with the election around the corner, anything can be, you know, turned into a political situation. And one group may make it sound like this particular amendment is an amendment to liberalize, and another group would say that this is to restrict. So, you know, I can't presume who would object or not, but
I'm going to ask you, because the, you know, we did begin with a very domestic conflict, a husband and a wife clearly going in different directions in their lives and trying to use the law of the land for their own personal benefit. How do we understand how this has become, gone from a domestic conflict to a national issue that involves all political parties and that's almost paralyzed the cabinet in terms of making a decision? We've had this going on for years now.
Yes, and that actually stemmed out from, because the unique situation in Malaysia, where when it comes to non-Muslim marriage, that is under the jurisdiction of the civil court, whereas a Muslim marriage falls under the Sharia court. And here comes the loophole when a couple, one of the spouses, converts. Now, the current law, the Law Reform Marriage Act, actually does not allow a converted spouse to, you know, seek annulment of his or her marriage through the civil court. You know, to sort out the maintenance, to move on, you know, to deal with the custody. So what happens is that that converted spouse then goes and seek relief from the Sharia court. And of course, the Sharia court does have power to call for orders and stuff like that. But those orders cannot be imposed upon the non-converted spouse. And this is where the conflict had started. So it is actually to be fair even to the converted spouse. But of course, divorce being divorce, when it comes to children and custody, this becomes very, you know, highly emotionally charged kind of argument. And it has been because of the very nature of how politics and religion is so mixed, it is almost as if religion becomes the only main concern when we are talking about the best interest of the child, which is actually not the case, even under Sharia. I think there's a huge misconception that when a custody is to be sorted out among parents in a Muslim family, it's as if all that matters is whether the child is Muslim or not. In fact, that is just one of the many things that should be considered, whether the parent can provide for, whether the parent can take care of the child. All this comes into concern, and the child's spirituality or the welfare of the child, you know, the religious concern of the child, is just one of the many things that is to be considered. But
thank you very much. That was Latifa Koya. She's a lawyer and advisor at Lawyers of Liberty. We're talking about the failure to move on the problem of unilateral conversions. We'll be back with more analysis after this. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.